This is the day which the Lord has made. We will look, middle section, don't feel bad. You guys were as powerful as us, so amen to you guys. All right. All right. It actually was all in stereo. It sounded really good, so thank you. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're continuing today to look at different battles in the Bible, and it's important. We are in a battle. Always, we're in a spiritual battle. In 2020, the Lord is moving. And he's moving in his people, and he's moving in his churches, and he's moving here at Prayer of Faith. And when God moves, we've already said, you've got to be careful because the enemy's waiting just to trip you right out of the gate. I mean, it looks like one of those little football teams where they have the paper banner, and you're running out there, woo, here we go into battle, and poof, and you run into the paper, and it's stronger than your players are, and they all get knocked down on top of each other. The enemy's waiting for that, and he's waiting just to knock them down. I'm going to read an opening scripture here. I'm going to bounce back and forth, and it's not where we'll be today, but it's just our opening scripture. And it's from 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, and then chapter 10, 3 through 5, because I want to read what we're up against here. And it says, it is written, again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And it says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I'm going to read that one more time. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, and we just sang about some amazing grace, that it may cause thanksgiving to overflow, where? To the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. From the moment we're born, we're that much closer to death. But let us be renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And now 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word spoken here. We thank you for your written word. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So where will we be today? If you want to turn in your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. That's where we'll start today. And like I said, we're continuing on with battles, and we'll finish up next week with our final service, our sermon on battle. And today is just talking about missed blessings in the battle, and how and why do we miss blessings when we're in the midst of battle, or what may cause that. We tend to want to jump into fights. We talked about different types of battle and when to engage. And sometimes it's difficult. We jump in when God tells us to. Because we want to jump in at the beginning. As soon as we see something brewing, we want to jump in there. And as Gideon was told by God, get your men together. Okay, we've got the battle ready. We've got the army ready. He said, take away these 10,000. All these, take them away. Great, you've got 300. It's time. When is it time? When I say it's time, be ready. And then he told them, boom, now's the time. Go down there. So we understood and we learned that we don't always have the plan up front. But God says, get ready for what's coming. Well, what's coming? Get ready for it. Just prepare. I'll let you know when it's here. But be ready. When I tell you it's time, it's time. We tend to want to jump in before we think and before God tells us to. And other times we are engaged in battle and he says it's time to remove yourself. That's not your battle. And we talked about disengaging from battles. God, they're not strong enough to go through that battle alone. Not when you keep fighting it for them. They'll never be strong enough. I need you to back out and let them go through this battle. Why, God? Why do I have to sit back and watch my family, my loved ones, my friends go through this battle? And so that this will strengthen them. It'll strengthen them. It will strengthen their faith. It will strengthen their relationship. With who? With me and with others. I need you to step back and let them do their own battle. Now that doesn't mean we can't pray for them on the outside and circle around them and be there for them. But sometimes God said, this is not your battle, it's theirs. So sometimes you don't want to be in a battle. He says, come in, you're needed. Whoa, I don't want to get in that fight. You're needed. Sometimes you're in the fight and he says, whoa, what are you doing in there? That's their fight, get out of here. God, it looks like it's 2-on-1 though. I want to make it even 2-on-2. He says, you're okay. Could you imagine Gideon? Lord, I think I should be in that battle. They've only got 300 men. No, they got this. Why? Because I've given them the power for victory. We were talking last week about Moses leading the people out of Egypt, leading the Israelites. Remember that battle? 40 years. Follow Moses. Oh, by the way, the Lord did not take them the most direct route. That exit from the battle may not be quick. It may not be direct. It may not be easy. We talked last week. Is the battle easy? Not always. Is the battle worth it? Yes. The battle is always God's. And the victory is always God's victory. The exit may not be direct and it may not be quick. Sometimes the battle is within the group. Remember when Moses came down and it said, oh, sounds like they have some battle going on down there. Then he asked Aaron, said, Aaron, what in the world did you let happen here? Well, we threw in some gold and stuff and out came this calf. I don't know, Moses. It just happened. It didn't just happen. It happened little by little. And those are the things that the enemy will do. The enemy will chip away little by little until all of a sudden you are walking down a path that you didn't expect to be down. And you find yourself over there and the Lord's way over there. Actually, he's always right beside you, but you know what I'm saying. You've walked away from him. And the people were grumbling and complaining. They questioned whether or not they were following the right leader. And they said, oh my gosh, he's brought us out of Egypt to let us die here. And they said, if God had taken them to the promised land right away, they would have said, oh, we won. They wouldn't have gone through this and learned who to rely on. There were generations that did not get to the end of that journey. And then we looked at, when we're looking for victory, our sin will prolong our victory. Our sin will prolong our victory. The Israelites were called stiff-necked by the Lord. He told Moses that. Your people are stiff-necked. And that's why they're going through this. Now, fast forward to Deuteronomy. Did I say chapter 31 or 32? Okay, good. That's where we need to be, 31. I thought maybe I got it backwards again. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. Says, and Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead. That's quite a long time. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you. As the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. He tells them in verse 6, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Moses is 120 years old. He has led the people for all these years. And he said, now, the Lord has told me that I will not cross over. You will now have a new leader, and his name is Joshua. And we've got to remember, in the midst of battle, the Lord may change leadership. The Lord may change leadership in the midst of battle. And we have to decide, are we following the same group and the same leader? And no, this is not any pre-talk to me leaving the church. Don't think that. I was sharing earlier today. I said, by the way, I'm going to take a couple weeks off and go visit some other churches. It's not to look for another church for myself or anything. It's to go visit some friends, just so you know. So I don't want anything to be misconstrued. Adam was telling us. I'm just saying this happened and we have to be ready when we're in battle that circumstances change. Leadership may change in the midst of battle. Know what the cause is. Now, if that leader, this one God put in place and told Moses, and Moses told the people, this is what you'll do. Now, if we flip over to chapter 32, verse 48. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 48. And it says, on that same day, the Lord told Moses, go up into the Abarim range to Mount Nebo and Moab, across from Jericho, and view Canaan, the land I am giving the Israelites as their possession. There on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die, and you will be gathered to your people. Just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Why? Verse 51. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance, but you will not enter the land I'm giving to the people of Israel. Go up on this mountain that you have climbed, and that's where you will die. You will see the promised land, but you will not enter it. And he tells him why. And I want us to remember, so the first thing today, I just have 3 points I want you to remember. The first thing is, in the midst of battle, you may have a change in leadership. That leader may give you different direction, and it may be hard to follow a different direction. That leader may give you the same direction, but you say, I don't want to follow that leader. But leadership may change. Number two, you may get a glimpse of victory. This is very important. You may get a glimpse of victory, but not the entire blessing or victory. The Lord spoke to Moses and he said, I'm going to let you see over there. I'm going to let you see across that land over there. Yeah, that's the land that I promised. You get to see it, but you don't get to enter it. So he got a blessing of taking the people there, but he did not get to enter the promised land. He did not receive full victory or full blessing from the Lord. And it says, why? Consequences. Consequences were his disobedience. And he says it in verse 51, this is because both of you, you and your brother Aaron, both of you broke faith with me. But it wasn't just that they broke faith, but he says you broke faith in the presence of the Israelites at the waters. And you didn't uphold my holiness when you were in front of them. Therefore, you only get to see it at a distance. You will not enter the land. Now, God spoke to Moses a couple different times. And one time he said, tap it with your rod and water will come forth. But another time he said, go up to there. And the people said, we are without water. And he said, gather the people and give them water. And he went up and he was mad. And he struck it twice and water came out. God didn't tell him to tap it this time. And that's what God's talking about there. He said, I just told you to have faith in me. I was going to provide the water, but you did it your way because you were mad. You were mad at the people. But I told you, have faith in me and I'll provide the water. But you struck the rock twice. You broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites. And you did not uphold my holiness. God didn't take kindly to that. He said, you're the leader. I've given you direction to have faith all through this. And then you've done this your way, not my way, but your way. And I didn't ask you to do it that way. Therefore, well, the Lord blessed me. I got to lead the people and we got to see the promised land. Therefore, he received partial blessing. Partial victory, if you will. I picture it as, you know, buying a new house for the family. And there's our house. Sorry, guys. The Lord said I don't get to enter our house and enjoy living there. But I get to point it out to the family and say, there it is. And it's a mansion. But I don't get to go there because I was disobedient. I broke faith. I did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. The third thing, disobedience will keep you from receiving the full blessing of the Lord. It's the same thing with us. When we're disobedient, we can look around and say, man, Lord, you have blessed me. God, you have blessed me. I can look around. I can see the blessings. Each one of us can say, the Lord has blessed me. I'm not without blessing, Adam. I know. But if you're living in sin, you're without full blessing and full victory. You're not saying, it's good enough. How's your faith? That's good enough. What is that commercial? The lady goes to the CPA and says, oh, yeah, I'm not that name anymore. Here's my new name. Oh, by the way, my audit's almost done. And oh, you don't want to know that. It's good enough. Or the other guy that goes to the fair and, is this safety stuff, a safety check? Oh, it's good enough. You want to ride on that ride? That's the ride we're riding on when we say, it's good enough. My faith is good enough. Now the problem is, sometimes we say, my faith is good enough and I want it to be better, but I don't know what to do. It's a tough place to be. What do I do? How do I get better? How do I become better? I want to get healthier. How do I become healthier? It's hard to start on your own. It can be done, but it's difficult. Speak to one of the leaders, Pastor Eric or myself. Speak to your youth pastor, Andrew. Speak to our young adult leader, Colton. Ask someone in leadership to say, I need some help. And it's going to be tough. Lord, if that first step is right here, we've set the bar too high. Sometimes we have to start slow and work our way up there. God can transform anybody through any situation they're in. But a lot of times you don't get that night and day difference. He says you'll see gradual changes. By the way, sometimes when we look at our life, don't look around and say, I'm not good enough. No, you've made improvements. They're just so little and gradual you didn't notice it. I won't say all this hair fell out in one day, little by little. And each day I still thought I had more than I did. But it happens gradually. Our slip happens gradually, but our transformation can happen gradually also. So be sure that we recognize where we have improved, where we have grown, where God has brought us from and to. It's okay to say, hey, when He brings us from here to there, now all of a sudden He doesn't want this, He wants this now. It's okay to say, uh-oh. Because when you try and compare yourself from there to here, it's a huge difference. But we also have to recognize we got from here to here through God's grace and His mercy and His transformation. But it's hard to miss those sometimes because we still have a lot of familiar things that follow us everywhere we go. You know, whether it be our characteristics of us that we bring with us. And we've dropped some off, but we still have some other ones. Maybe that, well, this work environment, this family environment, this relationship environment, whatever it is, those things, these financial decisions I keep making, if they follow us and we haven't improved those, we can still have a lot of that. And so they may be present in our mind and we think, I've made no progress. And we have. We have to be ready for that. Disobedience will keep us from experiencing the full blessing of God. Now turn over again to chapter 34. Chapter 34, we're just going to read that whole thing in the end. But as we think about sin prolonging and diminishing our victory, we have to think, what do we want? Do we want victory? Do we really want it? Reduce sin. Do we really want His blessings? Reduce sin. Do we really want intimacy with the Father? Reduce sin. Well, I want these, Adam, but I see that you've attached something that I had to do. Well, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So let's remember this. Our band's going to come up here and as we close out, but I'm going to read this, chapter 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of whatever that town is, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea. the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord has said. The Lord buried him, in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. And that, again, is because God buried him. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Now we're going to talk next week as we finish up our battles, but we're going to talk about different people God used in battle. And remember, last week we talked about in battle, and we said, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And then we said, be still. The Lord said, be still. And then when he said, it's time to move, we've got to move on. And the Lord said, I will fight for you. You need only be still. As we think about the battles we face, we have to be prepared. We have to know His Word and what His Word says. We have to know when to put things down and not take up that battle, when to pick them up and take on battles. We have to know that God uses unlikely leaders to lead His people. And we have to know God can and does use small groups to defeat large enemies. Amen? Let's stand as we prepare to worship this morning.